The country has officially moved to alert level 3, but is our contact tracing capacity up to the job? The government and the Director General of Health have promised a gold standard system, but is it meeting the targets that would indicate that? Alongside a technical upgrading of the data sharing systems within and between the public health units, more staff have been hired to boost contact tracing, and a smartphone app to help with tracing is being developed and should be introduced in a couple of weeks. The government says the country has technically eliminated COVID-19, but that does not mean there will not be outbreaks, and the key is to stamp them out quickly. Rapid contact tracing and quarantining is pivotal to that goal and to keeping the country out of future lockdowns. The National Party's health spokesman Michael Woodhouse says the health ministry cannot clearly state how long the average contact tracing time is and how many people they have failed to trace. And he says 2 weeks is too long to wait for a contact tracing app when Singapore offered the code for its app weeks ago. Michael Woodhouse is our guest. Good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine.
The gold standard we've been told about is the capacity, one of the measurements, is the capacity to identify 80% of close contacts of someone infected with COVID-19 within 3 days. Are we seeing that ability?
Well, we have the ability. We're not seeing the performance yet. In fact, it's not clear to me whether we're seeing 80% of close contacts contacted at all. The latest data I've seen is from last Thursday, where they completed a total of 7,738 close contacts. That only represents about 75% of all close contacts. So we're not even getting to 80% as a total. Certainly, it doesn't appear we're getting there within 3 days.
What is happening with the reporting of this? Is it going to be adequate in order to ensure what is promised is being met?
Well, it's not so far. I've been sent the daily situation reports that the minister is getting from his ministry. As at the 10th of April, they were giving him the complete data, which showed on that day that there were 9,854 close contacts identified. Just 5,453 of them had been contacted. Since then, as I say, 7,700, so we still haven't got to the close contacts identified a fortnight ago, and now they're not giving him that information. I'm not sure why that's the case. But there is a dearth of that really important information about how long it's taking, what the shortest time, the longest time, the average time, what proportion, as they say the gold standard is, of contacts are being reached within 3 days. And that's going to be so important as we approach level two, because we'll have a lot more cases where it's going to be super important to get on top of this quickly.
Can you speak to capacity in the system? The independent audit the government had done by Aisha Verrill, Professor in Infectious Diseases, Dr. Aisha Verrill, I beg your pardon, an infectious diseases expert, it recommended that the system be able to deal with up to 1,000 cases per day. That's actual cases, and therefore many thousands of contacts. The Director General is still saying the capacity is 185 cases a day. I think the latest I saw was either the ability or the ambition to scale that up to 300 cases a day. It's difficult to pin down from different statements. Is that level, 300, going to be good enough for what we may face at any time in the coming months and likely more than a year?
Well, I do hope so, because what that will mean is that we will be keeping the number of confirmed COVID cases down. We're at between 5 and 10 a day right now, so the idea that 300-odd wouldn't be enough is a bit scary, frankly. The question isn't about capacity, and I think Dr. Verrill's report showed some quite difficult challenges that were being faced by a system that was being set up at very short notice. I believe we have the capacity. What that report also said, though, was that there was quite big challenges in two areas. One is the communication between our public health units and the close contact tracing centre. And the second is the quality of the information on who those close contacts are in order that they can be quickly contacted. Now, there were questions about the data that was held in the National Health Index database. That's a basically everybody has an NHI number and their demographic details are in it. It would appear to me that it's actually a question of the quality of the information rather than the capacity, boots on the ground, that is, to be able to contact them.
I guess capacity I was including, technology and whatever it takes. Dr. Verrill did say there's been big improvements. You've moved from isolated PHUs, public health units, and a difficulty in being able to share data and everyone look at the same stuff, to a much better system. But to her call of being able to do 1,000 cases a day and trace however many thousand contacts that is, her point is that you need a significant buffer. If you up your capacity limit, say it's to 300 or to 500, which I've also heard mentioned sometime over the last week, you're not, at that point, you don't want to be facing the awful decision to go back into lockdown. You want a big buffer from whatever you might come across, a big buffer between that and your ability. So
couldn't agree more.
So again, if you're hearing 185 cases a day and however many contacts is where they're at now, is that concerning?
Well, I think what's more concerning to me is that you describe the logistic challenges between the public health units and the contact tracing centres. Dr. Verrill, I think, highlighted another area, and that was a lack of willingness for the PHUs to delegate the work of contacting certain cohorts. And I questioned her on that in the Epidemic Response Select Committee meeting last week. She acknowledged that that could be the case. So I think that does need to be resolved. The other area, as you quite rightly point out, is capacity involves technology. And I think we need to have high confidence that the data that's being used to identify those close contacts is accurate, and so that they're not having failed attempts to call those close contacts.
Okay.
Technology will be part of that solution, there's no doubt. And I think we have not taken up opportunities to develop software or apps as quickly as I think we could have, but there is still time to do that while we're in level three.
Look, every specialist I've heard speak on this says, yes, the technology will assist, but it's the quality of your people and your forensic work, particularly with index cases, that is the primary thing. So you've got primary index cases being dealt with, then you've got people hitting the phones tracing potentially, and we're told we can now make up, you know, anything up to 10,000. You could scale up your contact tracers making calls. People doing 18 calls a day with the capacity they have now could hit 7,000. All right? In Australia, I think this Pandemic Select Committee was told last week, it has something like 7,000 staff doing contact tracing, five times more per capita than New Zealand. Now, they are in a different situation to us currently. But just to end this line of questioning, do you believe we are spending enough and have enough people in the right parts of the system, or can quickly enough get there?
Well, I don't think the comparison is that different, to be honest. And I did point out to the Medical Officer of Health in Australia that they were five or six times greater on a per capita basis. But again, that was a snapshot in time where there were very high numbers of cases and that was necessary. We didn't tool up to that degree, and we probably were lucky that we didn't have the sort of spike in cases that we could have through the lockdown. Now that we're through that, I think the first thing to do is to make sure that whatever cases we do have are really quickly identified. And you describe that as there is no amount of quality of staff member that can make contact with a person if those contact details aren't readily available. And I think that's what really worries me. We need to make sure that the quality of the contact details is high, and I'm not sure that it is right now.
Right, so that includes the National Health Index, where there have been some improvements. I think it was looking pretty poor in the initial report. We presume that is improving. One of the benefits of having a contact tracing app is that you could use it, as I think the intention is, to first check for people to register and to ensure that they are traceable. But even in Singapore, you are looking at a comparatively low uptake on that app. It is not going to be the answer to everything.
Well, I think you've got to take one step back, though, because in order to be able to do all of that, you need to have a high level of confidence that the index case has identified all of the close contacts that they have been in touch with over that period that they may have been infectious. Now, if you take something like the wedding in Bluff or the Marist College situation, it must have been tremendously difficult to quickly get on top of that source data. And that's where that technology would help, because at least you might not have an exhaustive list of all the people you came into contact with, but you'd have a pretty good start. And that would be a cross-cutting check against the, I guess, testimony, for want of a better word, of the index case and their recollection of who they might have been in close contact with over that period. And I guess for somebody like you, you're an essential worker, you've been out and about. If you were to look back over 2 weeks and try and recall all of the people that you had been within a 2 metre space of for more than 15 minutes, it would be a tremendously difficult task. So that's important, because that technology will assist with that. And then subsequently, the quality of the contact details of those people who have been identified will be so important.
Still stuck in the corner of the living room, Michael, talking to pillows, but never mind. Just finally, what is the level of accountability that you want now that we have come out of level three, the economic toll of the lockdown we've gone through to achieve these gains is only beginning to hit and will only get worse? What is the level of accountability you want on the all-round ability of the contact tracing system going through whatever happens the next few months? What do you believe the accountability should be? How often and in what form?
Well, I think firstly it needs to have transparency. I want to have confidence that the Ministry of Health do have the data that will enable us to understand how quickly and readily they're making those close contacts. So it's about information. And they should have been able to answer the written questions that I put to the minister over the time frame it was taking, how many close contacts weren't being contacted and so on. And it worries me that they weren't able to do that. We have a window right now of a fortnight. I hope it's no longer than that, because it's going to be so crucial to the decision to go to level two that we can have confidence in that system. So we need to hear more about what information is being collected, what success is being achieved by the Close Contact Tracing Centre and their public health units, and that we are truly at that gold standard. I really want them to be, but I just can't see that they could say that given the information they have.
Thank you for your time. Michael Woodhouse is National Health Spokesman. Both the Minister of Health, David Clark, and the Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, declined invitations to be on the program this morning.